As the Lord Jesus walked this earth, the Word of God reveals to us that he had many wonderful encounters or meetings with different people. We could think of Nicodemus, a very religious and devout man, who under cover of darkness came to Jesus by night and was told by the Saviour, "You must be born again." That was the simple message Christ had for this church-going man. "You must be born again." This indeed was what the Saviour was emphasising to him. This was his greatest need, that he would be born again of God's Spirit and that he would be converted and saved. Another significant meeting Christ had while he ministered here on earth was with that person who is known in Scripture as the rich young ruler. The Bible tells us this young man came running to Jesus. He came so eagerly to the Lord because he thought his life was so good and upright that the Lord Jesus would commend him for the way he had been living and for his manner of life. And so he came eagerly, he came running, he came excitedly to the Lord Jesus, believing that the Lord Jesus would more or less rubber stamp his life and commend him for his good behaviour, commend him for his riches, his religion, and for his righteousness. Yeah, for the message the Lord Jesus had for this self-righteous individual was to have eternal life, he needed to turn his back on the world and follow him. Christ told this noble man that what he needed for eternal life was not rich possessions or religious practices, but it was his salvation. It was he himself that he needed. It was no Christ as a Saviour. We then read those sad and solemn words. "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful." When he heard the truth of Christ, when he heard the truth of what he needed for salvation, he went away from the truth sorrowful. He was not willing to take the place of a sinner in need of the Saviour. The end result was this. He missed out on God's salvation. By contrast, the encounter the Lord Jesus had with a little man called Zacchaeus was very much different. Though this man was a great sinner, he responded to Christ in faith, and he came to know and enjoy the blessing of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Salvation visited his house. This man was born again of God's Spirit. He was saved, and he came to enter into eternal life. These were remarkable encounters which Christ had with different types of people, and there is much we can learn from them. Yet as we come to God's Word today, I want us to consider one of the most remarkable and outstanding meetings Christ had with an individual while he walked this earth. We have read of this encounter here in John chapter 4. The Lord Jesus at this time was travelling with his disciples from Judea to Galilee. But on this journey, they stopped at a well outside a city called Sychar. As the Saviour rested by the well, the disciples went into the city to buy food. However, while they were gone, a woman came out of Sychar to draw water. This then led not only to a conversation between Christ and this woman, but it ultimately led to her conversion, to her salvation. This dear lady was wonderfully converted as she met Christ that day at the well outside of Sychar. Now let's read of how the Lord Jesus dealt with this woman. Notice what he said to her in verses 13 and 14 here. And these are the words I want us to focus upon today. Notice what it says. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." What tremendous words these are. You see, what Christ was saying to this woman was, if you drink of the water of this world, if you live of the things of this world, you will never be satisfied. You will never truly know peace and contentment in your life. You will never truly know blessing. If you live off the water of this world, if you simply live off the things of this world, your life will never fully come to experience peace, contentment, and satisfaction. But on the other hand, Christ says, if you come to me, if you drink of me, if you seek for life and fulfillment in me, then you will be fully satisfied. Then you will know blessing. Then you will know contentment. Then you will know peace. The Lord Jesus here is declaring that he and he alone can meet man's need and bring blessing into our lives. In fact, he even goes further. For he guarantees full satisfaction to all that by faith drink of him. And this is really what verse 14 is teaching us here. It's teaching us that in Jesus Christ, there is full satisfaction guaranteed. Blessing guaranteed. Joy and happiness guaranteed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think again at these words in verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. What is that telling us? It's telling us he is able to quench our deepest thirst, our deepest need, and bring total satisfaction and blessing into our lives. This is the nature of the salvation that Christ provides for sinful men and women. It is not a salvation that merely puts a sticky plaster on your troubles and problems. Very often people portray God in that way. Well, if you come to God, He will help you out through life. But His salvation is not a crutch that helps us just simply through life. It is not a sticky plaster that sort of makes the difficulties of this world more bearable or more endurable. No, the salvation which is found in Christ is that which brings full and total satisfaction. It quenches our thirst. Our deep thirst. The deep thirst of the soul. So the reason why it brings full and total satisfaction is because God's salvation meets man's greatest need in its totality. And that's why God's salvation satisfies. Because it meets our deepest need in full. This morning then, as you think of the Savior's words here, I want us to consider the subject total satisfaction in Christ. Total satisfaction in Christ. This is the nature of the salvation which Christ provides. But let me ask you this at the very outset. Is this the salvation that you're enjoying? Is this the salvation that you're living in? Is this the blessedness that you're experiencing in your own Christian experience? Christ here explains the nature of his salvation. Fully satisfies. How important it is that we live in the joy of God's salvation. There are then two things I want us to notice in this passage of Scripture. In the first place, we see here Christ's salvation totally satisfies, for it meets man's need for holiness. It meets man's need for holiness. If I was to ask, what do you think man's greatest need is? I wonder what you would say. What would your answer be? No doubt if you went out into wider society and asked this question, what is man's greatest need? You would get many answers. At this time, some might say, man's greatest need is to deal with the coronavirus. And I would say, in this time in which we're living, this would be the greatest response you would get. Man's greatest need is to deal with this coronavirus, to find a solution to this problem, a remedy. This is the big issue of our times. Others might say, man's greatest need is economic. There are people who are poor in this world, and economically they're so poor they can hardly feed themselves. That's man's greatest need. Maybe others would say, well, man's greatest need is for peace. Peace in heart and peace in society. Peace even amongst the nations. However, man's greatest need from the fall of our first parents right down to this present day is the need that we have for holiness. This is the word that really sums up and encapsulates man's greatest need. Holiness. I want you to understand that today. This is man's greatest need. Holiness. The Lord Jesus made this so clear as he spoke with this woman at the well. After he says to her in verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, him shall never thirst. She says to the Savior in verse 15, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. This woman does not understand what the Savior is saying here. She is still thinking in terms of physical water. She thinks the Lord is speaking about her physical need here. Physical water to meet her physical need. And so she says, listen, give me this water. Give me this water. I don't have to come to the well anymore. And so my physical problem will be dealt with. Ever notice how Christ draws her away from her physical needs? And this is really what he's doing here. He draws her away from her physical needs to her great spiritual need. See what it says in verses 16 to 18. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. Do you see what the Saviour does here? He brings this lady to consider her own sin. And how her life was marked by her immorality and sinfulness. He brings her to see her great need. That's what he's doing. He points directly to the problem. Now Christ did not point to this woman's sinful ways just to embarrass her or to humiliate her. But he pointed to her sin so that she might come to see that what she needed above everything else was holiness. This was the greatest thirst in her life. This was the greatest need in her life. She was an immoral woman. She was a sinful woman. Therefore her greatest need was spiritual. It was for holiness. It is also the greatest need of each and every person in this world. The Bible tells us, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. No man shall see the Lord. Understand this today. God only ever accepts those that are holy. This is the only basis upon which God will accept man. On the basis of holiness. This is the standard for acceptance with God. Not partial holiness. Not even predominant holiness. But God's acceptance, the standard by which God will accept man, is upon the grounds of perfect holiness, sinless, unblemished holiness. If we don't have this, if we are not marked by this, then God will not accept us. Man's great need is therefore for holiness. And so this is the thing that men ought to be concerned about more than anything else. How can I be holy in God's sight? How can I be accepted by God? How can I have this holiness that is so desperately needed that I might enter heaven and be accepted by the Lord? All the water in the well that day could not have washed away this woman's sin. It could not have cleansed her soul and purged away the filth of her life. The water of this world could never have given to her acceptance with God. It could never have. It could never have quenched this great thirst that she had for holiness. Ah, but Christ could provide this for her. He could. The water of his salvation was able to cleanse away her sin. And it was able to cover her with the garment of perfect righteousness. Christ's garment of perfect righteousness. Woven by his sinless life. This woman's greatest need, her greatest problem, was able to be dealt with by Christ in full. By him in full. So it is for all men and all women. What we desperately need above everything else, holiness. Christ alone provides. He provides. And he gives to all that come to him. His own perfect holiness. And as Christ lived in this world, he lived a perfect life. He lived a sinless life. He never even thought one sin. Not even the thought of sin entered his mind. But you see, when we come to Christ and we drink of the water of his salvation, what happens? Christ imputes his perfect righteousness to us. And God accepts us as holy upon the grounds of Christ's righteousness. This is ultimately why the Lord Jesus came into this world to live and to die. It was to save his people from their sin and to make them holy. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There is total satisfaction in Christ, for he provides for man's greatest need. The need for holiness, which gives us acceptance with God and therefore a place in God's heaven. Place in God's heaven. This then, that's why it is essential that you by faith receive the water of salvation which Christ provides. For without this water you cannot be holy. Cannot be holy. Well, yes, you might think you are a good person. You may think you're a moral person. But the simple truth is this, without the water of Christ's salvation, without that which he provides for man, you remain unholy. And under the condemnation and wrath of God. And so Christ's salvation totally satisfies. For it meets man's greatest need. It meets the need for holiness. But then in the second place today, I want us to consider here, Christ's salvation totally satisfies, for it meets man's need for happiness. It meets man's need for happiness. Man has an innate desire to be happy. This is the very way God created man, with this instinctive desire for happiness. And this is the way we have been created. This is the way we have been made. We see this all around us in our world. People are striving after happiness. And they're looking for happiness in many different places. People are seeking for happiness in possessions. And they labor so hard to have them because they're seeking for happiness in possessions. Others are seeking for happiness in pleasure. Pleasures of this world. Some seek for happiness in a profession or in people or maybe even in a pastime. And they get involved in all of these things or take up these things and they're hoping that they will find real happiness and blessedness in the things of this world. This longing for happiness, which is found in the soul of man, leads him to seek for happiness in a multitude of different ways. If you think of this woman, Christ met at the well outside of Sychar. It was obviously the case that she was seeking for happiness. She was looking for happiness. In verse 18, the Lord told her, "Thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband." What do we see here? We see a sad tale. A sad picture painted for us. Here's this woman, and she went from one man to the next, married five times, and now she was living with one who was not her husband. All this testifies to us of the yearning and the longing in this poor woman's soul. That desire for happiness. She was seeking for happiness. And she went from one thing to the next. Seeking to get some blessedness and happiness and contentment in life. As the Lord Jesus then meets her at the well and declares, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." He was telling this woman, "I can meet the great need that you have for happiness." That's exactly what he was saying. You've been drinking of the water of this world for years. And your life's still empty. But I can quench that thirst. I and I alone can fill the emptiness that is found there in your soul. This is what Christ was saying to this woman. It is only Christ that, it is only in Christ that true and real happiness can be found. It is only He that can bring real joy into the soul of man. He has said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And again, we have Christ's great statement here. And what He has come to do. This is the statement of His work. Really similar words to our text here. He's come that we might never thirst. Tremendous claim the Savior is making here. I will bring peace and contentment. I will quench your thirst. I will cause you and enable you to live in happiness. That's what He's saying. Nothing short of it. Of course, the obvious question is, how is Christ able to bring happiness and satisfaction to the souls of men and women? This is the great question. This woman in verse 11 wondered how the Lord could meet her need because He had nothing by which to draw the water out of the well. She thought of this. This was the first problem. Well, how can you give me water? You haven't even got a bucket or anything to draw the water out of the well. There are many people, as full as you think, Christ cannot. Christ is nothing by which to pour happiness and blessedness into their lives. That's how many people think. Well, Christ has got nothing really by which to pour happiness into my life. The sad thing is, many professing Christians even think in this way. So they seek for happiness in other places. They say of Christ, well, you know, he can provide salvation for me. He can provide me a home in heaven. But He really can't bring satisfaction to my life. And so therefore, I'm going to look for happiness in other things. I'm going to look for happiness in the things of this world. And there's professing Christians think in this way. And act in this way. How then is Christ able to satisfy our great need for happiness? How is it? Well, one of the most well-known portions in God's Word very clearly teaches us how we can know real and true happiness in Christ. Psalm 23 is the most well-known of all the Psalms. But this Psalm sets before us the secret to true happiness. And I want you to understand that this is what Psalm 23 does. Psalm 23 teaches us happiness is found in Christ's provision. It's found in Christ's provision. David says in the opening words of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Now think of the scene that is painted for us here. It's a scene of happiness. Here we have sheep lying in green pastures and beside still waters. And they're nourished, they're well fed. They're sitting there in a state of true and real happiness. And that's the picture that is painted for us. And what are we taught here? We are taught that for a Christian, happiness is found feeding our souls in Christ's pasture. In other words, living in communion and fellowship with Christ. Living in fellowship with Him. Feeding upon His Word. Communion with Him in prayer. This is the secret to happiness. And let me tell you, believer, if you haven't understood this, you could never truly be happy and content in this world. This is the ABCs of happiness, communion and fellowship with Christ. This is so essential. Feeding your soul in His pasture. Happiness is found in Christ's provision. Psalm 23 teaches us happiness is found in Christ's power. David was on to say, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." He restoreth my soul. This is speaking of knowing God's power. It is the Lord who restores our soul by His Spirit. He works in our hearts and He works in our lives. Happiness is found in knowing God's power in our soul. The power of His Spirit working within us. Moving in our lives. And this is what to seek after. This is illustrated for us so powerfully in the book of Acts. As the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church, then we are told in Acts 8 and 8. There was great joy. Great joy. God was restoring them by His Spirit. We are not to be filled with wine or in His excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. And of course the world is filled with wine. They seek happiness in wine. But the Christian is to seek happiness in the Lord restoring their souls by His Spirit. Psalm 23 teaches us happiness is found in Christ's provision. It's found in Christ's power. It's also found in Christ's presence. For the psalmist declares, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Now the psalmist is speaking about the Lord's presence. He will be with me. He will be with me. To know Christ's presence with us is the most joyous, comforting, and blessed thing. Psalm 16 in the verse 11 says, "In Thy presence is fullness of joy." This is true happiness. To know Christ's presence in our lives. Oh, to know Christ's presence in the secret place. To know Christ's presence in our home. It beats riches, it beats anything else in this world. To know the presence of the Lord with us. This is why David went and fought Goliath. Because he knew the Lord was with him. And you see, this is satisfaction. To be able to face the world and all that we meet with in life and know we don't do it alone. And that is joy unspeakable. And then happiness is found in Christ's promise. Psalm 23 concludes with the wonderful words, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is the promise of Christ to His people. He'll bring us into His house and we'll dwell with Him forever. Or as we read in Revelation, He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. This is why even in the face of death we can be happy. Even in the face of life's greatest trials, God's salvation still fully satisfies because at the end of life and after death, it brings us into God's eternal home to dwell with Him forevermore. When we drink of Christ, when we live by faith looking to our all-sufficient Savior, what happiness will flood our hearts and souls. There is total satisfaction in Christ's provision. There is total satisfaction in Christ's power. Total satisfaction in Christ's presence. Total satisfaction in Christ's promise. He is the one that brings happiness to the souls of men and women. Let me ask you, are you experiencing the joy of God's salvation? We were singing those words, all that thrills my soul is Jesus, more than life to me. Is that real to you? Can you speak of that experience in your life? Religion to you is not just something you put on a Sunday. It's real. Christ is real. And you've drank of this water that he gives and your thirst has been quenched. Maybe it's not the case because you've never been saved. You've never come to Christ. You've never drank of this water. Let me encourage you to do that today. Let me encourage you to come by faith to Christ. And no satisfaction in Christ. Maybe you are a believer. And yet, there is a darkness and an emptiness in your soul. Sin has come in. And the prayer that you need to pray today is the same that David prayed in Psalm 51 and verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You've been looking for happiness in all the wrong places. Doing all the wrong things. And you haven't been drinking of Christ. Well, you can today. And you can be restored. There's total satisfaction in Christ. Maybe all know and experience this in our souls today. And be like this woman even in John 4. Rejoice in our Savior, in Jesus Christ, this very day. May God be pleased to bless His truth to our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen.